Here I am, Sullivan, your host, and here I am with the one, the only, Matt Kane of the self-titled Kane Action Team.
That's right.
He has over a dozen beyond talented MMA fighters and actors on their team. They've been going at it pretty strong since at least 2019, if I believe.
Well, technically even before that, 2014,
man.
24. Yeah. So we're coming up on 10 years. Technically, we really haven't got any, we didn't really start gathering momentum until about 2018, 2019. So, but yeah.
Excellent.
10 years.
10 years. Happy anniversary. They're based in Akron, Ohio. And
yep.
I knew them through Keith Collins, who's been going busy, doing his own MMA action movies, but their talents include Jerry Sir, Ben Garten, and Krista Dotson. But altogether, like, when did any of you guys just finally decide it was time? We're all going to the same gym. We all click with each other. We all respect one another. Let's make it happen for everyone.
Yeah. So, I've grown up in the Northeast Ohio area, Akron, a suburb of Cleveland, and I've been involved in
Cleveland rocks.
He sure does. That's right. Where are you from, by the way?
I'm Dallas, Texas, but I have many relatives from Michigan and Ohio.
Okay, gotcha. So you're based in Dallas?
I am, but I have revisited it ever so often, every once in a while, and it is just very intriguing, like you say, to just see kind of a blue collar state go up and above and beyond every once in a while. Once in a while, there's a big event that comes through there. And
yeah. And I'll try not to sidetrack too much. My mind, I'm like squirrel, you know, but,
Hey, this took a while to get going.
Yeah, no, this has been a long time coming. So I want to make it worth everyone's time. But anyways, let me sidetrack. I went to Dallas one time for WrestleMania. One of the WrestleManias. I can't remember which one it was. I was drunk off my ass, so like I can't remember what number, but it was the one. What was the main event? I think Roman Reigns. And was it Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar? I don't know. That might have been I don't know.
Year.
But it was the year was 20. Oh God, that's a great question. I'm on my phone.
18.
Are you looking it up right now?
Yeah, I'm trying to.
So that sounds about right. I think it was 2018 because it was the second to last one I went to.
Okay.
Because I didn't go. I've not been to one since. But yeah, it was at was it AT&T Stadium?
I think so. I'm just looking.
Where the Cowboys play.
Oh.
Anyways.
Yeah.
That's the only time I've been to Dallas. We drove all the way from Cleveland to Dallas. It was like 18 hours or some shit. But anyways, not to sidetrack everything, but I just had to mention a quick WrestleMania story. It was a lot of fun going to WrestleMania.
I've seen Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns 2002. So
no, not 2002.
All right.
Cause he wasn't around for 2002, but,
interesting.
I've been to what, 7 WrestleManias, I think. Cause it's me and my buddies, we that was our time to like go and hang out, make bad decisions, get drunk and go to different WrestleManias.
I'm actually seeing one from last year. Are you sure that was it?
Yeah. No, it was. I think it was 2018. Sounds about right. I can check.
That's
out
so weird. I'm not seeing it, man. Okay.
If you look up WrestleMania Dallas, it should pop up.
Yeah.
But anyways, we're not here to talk about that. But anyways, what was the original question?
2016. My bad.
2016. Anyway. That was it. 2016.
Anyway, so that was 2 years after you formed your crew.
Correct. There you go. So here's what happened. I've been involved in acting for 25 years. I started when I was 10 years old. I'm 35 now. So I've been involved in acting for, you know, almost my whole life. So I also been involved right around the same time I started doing martial arts. I started when I was 12. I started heavy doing martial arts, Jeet Kune Do. I've done Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, self-defense. I've done kickboxing, Taekwondo, whatever, a bunch of stuff. I started slowly merging those passions together, the passion of film, passion of, you know, fights, action and all that stuff. And as right. I started delving deeper into that and getting more involved in indie films, I came to the realization that, hey, like this area, this Northeast Ohio area specifically, doesn't really have any stunt teams. There's one stunt team that's kind of like a couple hours away, but there's really nothing here. I just want a group of guys that where we can get together, kick the shit out of each other and make some art, like make some short films, make some feature films and all that stuff. So basically what I did. Yeah. So basically what I did is I decided, hey, well, if there's nothing around for me to go and train, why don't I just start something? Yeah. So basically in doing acting gigs and projects, it came up in conversation. We talked about action and stunts and being around, you know, short films, and say, hey, you know, I formed a stunt team, Kane Action Team. You have any interest in joining? And slowly but surely, we started to kind of form, you know, through that. And so we started technically in 2014, and just kind of slowly over time started growing in members. And we've and just like anything, you know, ebbs and flows. Some members go, some members come. Right. But yeah, so that was kind of the genesis of it. Is just I felt that there was a need for, you know, some stunt training, some action that we could, whether it be create our own action, do our own short films, mm-hmm. consult on short films and design their action, or train actors. Those are kind of the three main elements of what we do. Our own content, consult and design for other action, create action for other films, other projects, and then train actors and actresses to look cool on camera. So that's basically the genesis of it.
Totally. And yeah, you have so many forms of MMA fighting, but do you have a particular favorite, or is it all just
flow
together?
Well, so this poster behind us, the Enter the Dragon. So I'm a big proponent of Bruce Lee, and you know, Bruce Lee talked about how, like, you know, he really didn't have much of a style, even though he created his own style, but it was kind of stylist. But that's a whole other philosophical argument. But he would say is absorb what's useful, discard what's useless, add what's your own. So for me, I've kind of done a little bit of a lot, if that makes sense. The first martial art I actually ever did start in was Jeet Kune Do, Bruce Lee's martial art, because I wanted to become like Bruce Lee when I was a kid. I would practice. I was a Bruce Lee fanatic. If anything I could get my hands on that was Bruce Lee related, I did. I read every book. I did all his workouts. I did everything. I was trying to become, you know, the Caucasian Bruce. Yeah, the Caucasian Bruce Lee. So anyways, that was kind of my baby. But ever since then, you know, I've kind of done a bunch of different arts. I own a martial arts school in Akron, Ohio called Paragon Martial Arts and Fitness. And we teach self-defense. We have a cardio kickboxing class. Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu is something else that I've really gotten passionate. I've been in the last 10 years, I've really trained hardcore in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. I love grappling in addition to, you know, kicking and punching, all that stuff. So I'm kind of a hodgepodge. I don't really have like a set style. For me, it's whatever works and whatever looks cool on camera.
Okay, very neat. And what action directors did you study, you know, from the greats like, you know, James Mangold and Spielberg to be action guys like Isaac Florentine and Jessica Johnson?
Yeah.
But overall, which ones really stuck with you where you're like, see, these guys, they understand how to have drama, kick-ass stunts, and a movie that flies like clockwork?
Yeah, no, absolutely. The first OG for me was obviously Jackie Chan. Jackie Chan and you know, and his homeboy Sammo Hung. I grew up with a lot of the Hong Kong action movies. That was kind of my first foray, because you know, when you grow up and you start watching martial arts movies, you're like, damn, like who does it the best?
This is real.
Yeah, so Jackie Chan, Sammo Hung were my first intro into that. But honestly, I'll get into my favorites in a second, but
no, it's fine.
I got some early. I'm having some repressed memories are popping up. When I was young,
man, all this excitement.
Yeah. When I was, we'll say too young. My dad was a big my dad was a big fan of Steven Seagal.
Nice.
Okay. And awesome. So, you know, when I was probably, like I said, way too young to be watching these movies. My dad would throw these on, and I'm watching guys get their legs blown off, get their wrists snapped, their necks snapped, getting beat in the head with, you know. So Steven Seagal's 5-movie run when he started is, I'd put it up there with anybody else's. Like every movie pretty much he's made since then has been trash. But
every,
if you look at Above
the Law, star has their moments. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Well, but if you look at Above the Law, Hard to Kill, Marked for Death, Out for Justice, Under Siege. Those five go hard. They're great, gritty, dark, violent is really the better word. Yeah. Violent action movies. They're awesome. And the practical effects are great. Granted, Steven Seagal is playing the same character in all of them. His acting is whatever. But but that was like one of my first introductions into violence, into action, was the Steven Seagal movies, because my dad loved Steven Seagal, so I would watch that. Also, a big introduction for me right there, I don't know if this is just audio or video, but Point Break. Just,
yeah.
Okay. Point Break with Keanu Reeves, Patrick Swayze. That also was one of the first action movies I remember watching, again, when I probably shouldn't have been watching it. but ever since then, I've had such a fascination with that film. So like the 90s action movies were my thing. And then I started getting into Van Damme, Bloodsport. Love Bloodsport. One of my favorite movies of all time. Kickboxer, oh, yeah. Universal Soldier. Yeah. So that was like my first intro into violence and action were those guys. And then I started getting into Jackie Chan, Sammo Hung. And then later, as I started, my palate started to become more refined. I started getting into guys like Isaac Florentine, who, in my opinion, is one of the best Western directors of martial arts movies, bar none. The man knows how to shoot a fight scene. If you watch any of his Undisputed films, if you watch Special Forces, if you watch
all the Scott Adkins ones.
Scott Adkins movies are terrific. You watch, he did Power Rangers.
You're right.
He was,
of all people.
Yeah, he directed a lot of those Power Rangers episodes. So he's a karate, you know, master as well. So he gets martial arts. And it takes somebody like that that understands like the beauty of a technique on screen and why you would throw a special move. And here's how we're going to record. Here's how we're going to film it. That's really important. And then just recently, within the last, you know, 5-10 years, I've gotten more into guys like Vlad Rimberg. He's really amazing. Guys like Eric Jacobus, who's like one of the kings of the indie world. If you don't know Eric Jacobus, amazing indie action director, who also even recently done? Eric Jacobus, what's he done? So he's done a bunch of indie films, Rope-A-Dope, Blindsided, Pizza Time. They're really good indie films. But in the mainstream, he's known for doing the motion capture for Kratos in not the most recent God of War game, but the I think it was a God of War. What is it?
Oh, Eric Jacobus. Okay, yeah. Sorry, I heard it as Chavez.
Oh, Eric Jacobus.
Yes, 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 yes. He is way cool. And my heart broke when I just saw how he was trying to get on so many big projects and they wouldn't hire him. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
He's done motion capture for video games and even Army of the Dead.
Yeah, no, he's a great guy. And he really gets, like, he's one of those guys, he's a genius. And he gets he just gets it from an action standpoint. But yeah, those two, of late, there's been a group called Team Red Pro that are based out of DC and I think LA as well. They've done some really cool stuff. They've done consulting. They did they handle a lot of the action for Shang-Chi. Who else am I forgetting? A guy, Chris Cowan. He's a guy from Ohio originally. He's done some excellent work, Chris Cowan. And I feel like I'm forgetting. Yeah, Chris Cowan. And Riven X3I is his YouTube channel. Riven X3I, RIVEN X3I. Who else am I forgetting? Those are the main ones. What's that?
I don't know.
Yeah, valid. Emmanuel Manzanares. A lot of these guys are indie guys that now have done a lot of Hollywood stuff. Even how could I forget Chad Stahelski and David Leitch for John Wick. And see, you see what happens. Have you seen John Wick 4?
Totally.
Okay. Yeah, I'm gonna buy it.
The theaters this year. So
oh yeah,
got it.
I'm gonna buy it when it comes out in a couple weeks. It's amazing, and it's like a magnum opus for action. But this is what happens when you have action guys drive a movie. When you have them in charge, they will show this. Like this is what this is how you film action. This is how you make it look incredible. And even of late, like Extraction. If you've not seen Extraction, that's a hell of a great action movie from Sam Hargrave, who's another guy from 8711 Action Design out in California. That's you know, David Leitch, Chad Stahelski's outfit is 8711, and they're tremendous.
Yep.
Yeah. And then Scott Adkins, probably my favorite of all times, you know, grew up watching his movies and such a fan of his. That's kind of the, I know I threw like a lot at you, but those are all my influences. Yeah, all that stuff.
Totally. And which ones really just like when you're crafting an action scene that you want to try out in a short or crowdfunded indie, altogether, what keeps you going? What makes you say, hey, our heart is in the right place. We're not cutting back on this. Everyone's on time. There are no shows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But how do you keep that inertia going without it becoming stale or too repetitive?
Yeah, one of the things that's important is enjoying the process.
Yes.
Right? So like, you know, obviously we always want to keep the end goal in mind. We're trying to paint a picture here, a visual story. But if you don't enjoy the process, you're in the wrong business. So, and I tell guys when we're working on set, we're designing action. So right now we're currently wrapping up an indie feature from Cleveland from a director named Johnny Wu, who's done, he has a handful of films on Amazon Prime and Tubi. We're round in third on a movie called Bullets, Brothers, and Blood. Right. There you go for a title.
That's a Shaw Brothers title waiting to happen.
Yeah. Bullets, Brothers, and Blood. And, you know, I tell guys, like, when we're designing this action, it's going to be hard. Like, we're going to have to do take after take after take after take. It's going to be physical. We have to do it over again. The fun
comes later in the editing room.
Uh-huh. Yep. You're going to take some spills. Now, we're not going to be reckless. But you're going to get, you know, you're going to be sore. You're going to get hurt. You're going to be bruised up a little bit. So if you're not enjoying this process, you're in the wrong business. So enjoy the process, but also keep in mind, too, that, yes, pain is temporary, but what we're creating is permanent. What we're creating is lasts forever. We're creating works of art. We're creating films that, you know, we can show our grandchildren long after we're gone. That will be here. What you did on film, that story that you told is going to last through the ages. And I think that's what's really important when you know, we're on set for long hours, we're tired, we're hungry, we're thirsty, we want to get this shit over with. When we remember, hey man, why you're, and also remember why you do this. Do you remember being that little kid who was like, oh man,
always,
I can't, oh man, when I was watching that Steven Seagal movie or that Bruce Lee movie or that whatever, that Wesley, I didn't talk about Wesley Snipes, that Wesley Snipes movie, whatever. Do you remember that feeling you got when you were watching it? Okay, now you get to do this. You get to create that stuff. You're blessed. Right. You should count your blessings and understand how lucky you are to do this. Yeah, it's going to be hard. It's going to be tough. But at the end of the day, listen, we're just making movies, right? So although we take it serious and we have fun with it and we, you know, this is what we do, like, let's also make sure we go home safely. We also make sure that there's also a little bit of playfulness there. You know, even though we get after it and we work hard, we're still just making movies at the end of the day.
Totally. And how do you think you, did you actually get some good reward from, you know, teaching this to other people, and why did they look to you as the main leader to follow?
Yeah. I mean, I'm a teacher by trait, honest. So I, one of my other jobs is I'm a part-time professor at Kent State University in Ohio.
Yes.
So I've been teaching for 15, 16 years at this point. So like, it's very, when I can help motivate somebody, to become a better version of themselves, it's one of the most rewarding things that you can possibly imagine. Everybody has it inside of them, whether they know it or not, they have it, they have that extra gear. Yeah. And so, but sometimes you need an external source to help you understand what's internal. So that's kind of where teachers come in. The teachers aren't showing you anything you don't know. They're just showing you the path to, you know, they're illuminating the path and then you walk it, if that makes sense. So for me, it's that when I see somebody get it, when I see somebody break through a barrier, when I see somebody overcome an obstacle, when I see somebody, you know, accomplish something they've always wanted to do, man, that's what it's all about. So yeah, I love being able to help people and teach them, whether it's physical, you know, mental, spiritual, whatever.
Sweet. And how long you've been working at Kent State? I saw that on your resume, but that it's just very cool to talk to an actual professor.
Yeah. So I started, what's funny is I started around the same time I started the Kane Action Team, 2014. So I'm coming up on 10 years there. Yeah. A lot happened in that 2014 year. Started the Kane Action Team, started teaching at Kent State. Yeah, it was a lot of movement that was going on. So yeah, it'll be this coming fall, I'm starting my 10th year.
Man. So, all right.
I know. Time flies when you're rocking and rolling.
And committed, man. Committed. What action movies are you looking forward to that are coming out? Whether independent or festival or even just a short film action fest?
Yeah. So John Wick was the big one. That was like, I had that circled, highlighted, got it.
And I got Indiana Jones and Mission Impossible coming out.
We do. Yeah, the Mission Impossible, which I believe is it a two-parter?
Yes. It'll conclude next year. So.
and Tom Hanks, man. Or not Tom Hanks. Tom Cruise.
I wish we saw Saving Private Ryan, Captain Phillips, Tom Hanks. That's the
movie we need, is Tom Hanks and Mission Impossible.
Karate like that one Family Ties episode I'm in.
Oh, yeah, that's right. But no,
or is it Happy Days? One of the two.
Tom Cruise, what a legend. What a legend. What else? You got me thinking. What am I looking forward to besides John Wick? What else do you have coming on?
D&D yet?
I've not. I heard it's good, though.
I think you might like some of the practical fight scenes. The Captain Kirk actor, Chris Pine, is just really good at blending dry comedy with physical agility. So
yeah, here's the issue though, is with the WGA strike that's going on, everything's been halted. So they were actually, this pre-production had started for Blade, and they're actually filming that right here in Cleveland. They were. I don't know if they still will because of the WGA strike, but they were. What happened is originally last year, 2022. They already had things were moving. They were getting ready to film. And then I guess the director, said this script is trash.
It's a curse of a movie.
Insiders in Hollywood had said that, I guess the script was lackluster and there were only like, I think two decent action scenes in the film. And they said they weren't even that great. So they scrapped this, they got rid of the script. They redid it. And then, of course, now the WGA strike has put everything on hold because I don't think they're trying
to sabotage it just because, A, they don't want to have to work harder to market R-rated movies unless it's Deadpool and that's the only way they'll get Ryan Reynolds back. And B, like you say, is like they've already attached like a bunch of other guys who've done Super Bowl ads and commercials. They even got the guy who did Bad Boys Free and then he pulled out when they kept arguing nonstop. And it's just like, why is Blade just a message in a bottle? Why is it so hard to recreate? How hard would it be to have Wesley Snipes be in there and everyone would shut up? He's like, okay, it's like Batman introducing the next Robin. That'd be cool.
Exactly. But
they overthink this and it's just like, just make a kick-ass vampire slaying movie.
Exactly. I know. I just thought of one. I've not watched it yet, but I saw it dropped. Marco Zaror, who was a badass. He was in the John Wick 4. Undisputed, of course. Yeah, yep. Kiltro. He just released a movie called Fist of the Condor.
Yes.
And I've not seen it yet, but I heard it's pretty good. There's
Creed
a bunch of
Creed 3.
And Creed 3, yeah, I've got to see that as well. Gosh,
I think you're going to like the fights and the arcs, and don't worry.
I heard that that Michael B. Jordan, he took a lot of anime influence and put it into his fights. The use of the slow-mo, certain angles. So when they were fighting, I guess he used a lot of the techniques that are done in anime to enhance.
Yeah, he's a huge cartoon comic book fan. But don't worry about the Jonathan Majors thing. Again, kind of like Kevin Spacey, he was playing a villain, so it didn't affect the movie.
Yeah, that's a valid point. I forgot about Jonathan Majors. Talk about a guy who shoot himself in the foot, man. He had the world by the stones, and
yeah,
there you go.
I'll take the and people were like, I'm not sure if I believe him or the women. I was like, well, one thing's for sure, I believe these two different assistant directors in theater school.
Yeah,
those guys don't bullshit.
Well, and that's the thing is what happens a lot of times is when one person comes forward, it then empowers others to say, hey man, now this guy's been a turd ball ever since. I'm just glad that somebody else has spoke out. Now they feel empowered to do so. And I guess he was pretty violent in when he was in school. I guess he had some outbursts of anger, and according to reports that I read, obviously he put his hands around this girl and choked. Like, there's no excuse for it. I don't care who you are. So hopefully, I don't know, man. It's unfortunate, but I guess you reap what you sow.
Yeah, it's one thing to have just like an uneven, like lesser aspect ratio. I remember when so many other people were getting canceled post 2017, and then the LA attorney district just put a chokehold on it, no pun intended, and they were just like, okay, stop right here. Yeah. Yeah, we need crucial evidence. If you can't prove it, can't give us any material, we are not going to see this case. We've already seen these people, that people, and we're turning it over to the attorney general. But it's interesting how but yeah, it is interesting to see people evolve and compliment each other as people get past the troubles in their life, explode all that drama on screen, and actually inspire other people who associate, whatever culture aspect of this business. So when you can actually go past your flaws and stand out so much, change both your life and entertain people while doing it, that's a wonderful thing to do. Kent State, what other professors and other colleagues did you surround yourself with there, if you can say?
To be honest with you, at Kent, I kind of in my own bubble, which I like.
We'll return after these messages.
Hello and welcome to Culture Shocked, the pop culture podcast brought to you by four aging millennials and our outdated opinions. Join us every Tuesday as we discuss movies, TV, games, and even music, new and old.
Dude, what do you think you're doing?
Are you seriously trying to record a promo without us right now?
Well, yeah.
Dude, you can't just do the promo by yourself. Who's gonna listen to that?
Yeah, and you probably haven't even told them that we're a pop culture podcast where we always agree on everything. For instance, the Sam Raimi trilogy easily being the best of the Spider-Man movies.
No. But I think we can all agree that Jaws is a classical masterpiece.
Nope, don't like that. But we do all agree that the sequel trilogy of Star Wars is the best in the Skywalker saga, right, guys?
That comment is so ridiculous. I don't even know where to
Anyways, that'll do it from all of us here at Culture Shock. Thanks for listening.
Do you ever find yourself thinking about who would win in a fight between Goku and Superman? Hi, I'm James Gavsey, and on the Who Would Win show, me and my co-host Ray ignore anything important happening in the outside world and debate fictional battles between characters from comics, movies, and video games.
We got a new show every week, and almost always am I the winner.
Yeah, not true, Ray.
In the past, we've discussed such matches as Captain America versus Darth Vader, Solid Snake versus the Iron Giant, classic matchups like RoboCop versus Terminator, and even the Muppets versus Sesame Street.
That one was crazy. So if you're a fan of geek culture and love a spirited debate, check out the Who Would Win Show wherever you get your podcasts, or check us out at whowouldwinshow.com.
We let things pile up in the DVR. We add them to our queues. We wait for the DVDs and Blu-rays. We time shift. The Time Shifters Podcast. Sci-fi, horror, fantasy, superheroes, comedy, action, film, television, maybe some not-so-current events. Find us on iTunes or at timeshifterspodcast.com.
Cool thing about Blind Knowledge is we are in multiple countries. We are worldwide, all across the globe. We are in the U.S. We are in the U.K. We are in Canada, Germany, India, Japan. We're in Australia, y'all. BlindKnowledge.com. Now back to the feature presentation.
So I teach self-defense, and I teach jujitsu there. And it's an accredited class. So basically, every student has to take a certain amount of, for lack of a better term, PE. But it's not like gym. I'm teaching self-defense. I'm teaching jujitsu. I'm teaching, you know, stuff that's, you know, really important and really thorough and really in-depth. So every student has to take a few credits of that. So it's required. It's somewhat of a required class.
Nice.
But anyways, for me, so yeah, I kind of live in a bubble. There, I just do my thing. I teach my own classes. I don't really have any other, like, I mean, I have friends and colleagues and stuff like that. But that class, though, I will say, and I get feedback on it all the time, is a lot of people say it's the best class they've ever taken. Some of the most fun they've ever taken in college, because it's such an important class. Obviously, I'm biased, but I think everybody should take self-defense, especially women, especially college women. It should be a required class. But everybody that takes it says they are amazed at, you know, how much it changed them, changed their mindset, made them more confident and more empowered to defend themselves and not be a victim. So, that's why I do what I do. That's why I continue to do it year after year. It's such a rewarding, empowering thing to be able to help somebody on their journey.
Sweet. Okay. All together. Since fitness is an ever changing deal and people are always varying on what are the best options to utilize and everything. Who are some other fitness guys who you watch their tutorials and everything? They just have kick-ass advice that makes you not only look forward to getting up in the morning, but also just admire that someone actually wants to spread some very neat tips and tricks.
Yeah. So within the last couple of years, I started following a guy on Instagram who was a former CrossFit competitor named Marcus Philly. And Marcus Philly is the founder of a company called Functional Bodybuilding. Mm-hmm. And I really jive with that, because growing up too, in addition to martial arts, I've always been a big fitness fanatic as well. I actually have my bachelor's degree is in exercise science. So, you know, I've always been enamored. And that was honestly, it probably harkens back to, you know, Bruce Lee with his physique. And I loved watching Arnold. We haven't talked about Arnold and Sylvester Stallone, two of my favorites, right? I grew up watching Arnold and Sly Stallone movies as well. Can't believe we didn't talk about them. But anyways, I was a big pro wrestling fan. So to see these guys with larger than life personalities and even larger than life physiques, I loved it. And I tried to, like, my dad has stories of me at 2 years old doing push-ups in the living room, because mm-hmm. I wanted to be like my dad, who was, you know, big and muscular, and I wanted to, you know, be physical, and I wanted to grow. So I've always had a fascination with physique and with the human body and improving it, enhancing it. That's why I got my degree in exercise science. So anyways, beginning back to Marcus Philly and his functional bodybuilding, is it's a perfect marriage between two things: functionality, functional training, which is important when you are a stuntman, when you are an action actor, a martial arts actor. You need to be physical. You need to be in shape. You need to also have functional strength, right? Your joints have to be strong.
The ligaments have to still be grinding.
Yeah. You need to have good functional movement patterns, but at the same time, you also need to keep in mind the aesthetics of things, right? So you want to look good on camera. You want to have a good physique. Everybody wants to look good and have a good beach body, right? So his functional bodybuilding is the marriage of those two. So I've been doing that for the last, I think I signed about 6 months ago for his program. And I'm honestly probably in the best shape of my life. I feel strong. I feel strong. My physique has never looked better, you know, in my opinion. So yeah, he's definitely somebody that I would look for anybody that's looking to get into fitness, is looking for somebody that knows their stuff and can guide you in the right program. Yeah, he's definitely the guy.
That's excellent. What kind of motivation speakers do you recommend?
Ooh, that's a good one. Motivational speakers. Man, you're firing arrows from all over.
I'm sorry, I can't help
myself. No, you're good. I like this. See, here's the thing is I have very broad interests myself, in addition to just, you know, obviously the physical. Motivational speakers. I could take that a few different ways. I got to think about where the source I get my motivation. So I'm like I'm intrinsically motivated by nature. I'm just geared naturally to like go and be motivated, and achieve and get shit done. But that being said, it also is important, you know, to have some outside influences and words in your ear. For me, I get a lot of like motivation, like life motivation, instead of like, I'll bring it back. From like a business and creative and professional standpoint, Gary Vaynerchuk, Gary V, he's amazing. He's, if you've not heard of him, you gotta be living under a rock, but he's a great motivation. And I don't even know if he would call himself a motivational speaker. He does a lot of motivational speaking. He's a business guy, and what's that?
That's very neat.
Yeah. So he you know, motivates people from a business and life standpoint to achieve what they want to achieve and go after what they want. But the thing I like about Gary Vee is he promotes kindness, because, you know, a lot of people will say, okay, if you want to be, you know, you want to crush it in business, you kill everyone, right? You destroy your competitors. You know, forget anyone, right? Be mean, be nasty, be an alpha, crush them. Well, he's not like that. He's like, I can be kind, but I can also be an alpha. I can also like crush it and go after it. But why do I have to put people down? Right. His thing is like, if you're going to build the highest skyscraper in the city, are you going to build yours higher than somebody else's? Or are you going to tear somebody else's down just so yours is higher? Right.
Yeah.
So he talked about building that skyscraper up. Listen, you know, why you got to be a dick to other people when you do it? There's Why can't you be nice?
Yeah.
Why can't you be nice and still get after it? And that's what I love about him. He's got really good practical tips. I've used a lot of his stuff for my business. So yeah, Gary Vee is a big motivational speaker. Outside of that, in terms of like spiritual stuff for me, some of the big ones, like spiritual teachers like Ram Dass, that's somebody I've been following for a long time. Love his words. Even Buddha, stuff from the Bible, like just anything that can hit me intrinsically can help like make me look at things in a different perspective. A lot of philosophers too, even Bruce Lee. I don't keep pointing to him, but Bruce Lee was one of the first, you know, motivators for me to get into martial arts, obviously. But also Bruce was a philosopher. He, you know, studied philosophy in college. His books, you know, Tao of Jeet Kune Do, some of his philosophical musings in life are really awesome. So yeah, those are kind of the, yeah. And I'm a big fan of quotes too. I have a whole bag actually that I have threw a bunch of quotes in, and every once in a while I'll just shake it up and pull it out, and it'll be, you know, something from whether it's literature, whether it's a movie, whether it's famous historical figure, Mother Teresa, whomever, anybody that can just kind of like anytime you get a quote like that and I try to every day I try to find a quote or a paragraph or something. Anything that can help you kind of center yourself or look at something to meditate and ruminate on in the back of your mind, help you kind of view life differently. Right. That's what I love.
Exactly. Instead of, like you say, putting people down or getting annoyed that There's a very mean-spirited meme that doesn't do anything for anybody. You know?
Exactly. I'm like, I don't engage. One of my personal philosophies is when there's like negativity on social media, I don't engage. It's not my thing.
There's no point. Yeah.
No, there isn't. You're not going to win.
People ask
over.
Me, why am I not active on my main page? I'm like, if I have something to say, I'll let you know.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing is like, there's no point. My time is valuable. I'm not going to spend it interacting with somebody who's going to be negative. And somebody that will comment on a post and be negative, and I've had it, everybody has it. Think about this.
Yeah.
Think about this from a philosophical standpoint. This is somebody that's taking time out of their day, effort, energy to hop on a keyboard and say something to you negatively, derogatory. Like that takes somebody that's hurting to do that, right? Now, it's one thing if it's a constructive thing, like, hey, man, did you think about doing this? That's cool. But if it's intentionally to be negative or intentionally to harm somebody, that's somebody that's messed up. And I actually have, and this is what Gary Vee actually talked about, have empathy for that person because they're coming from a dark place.
Oh, totally. And truth be told, they probably wouldn't spread it to begin with if they weren't all that stuck up. And
exactly.
I just talked about this with martial artist James Gapsy, who you might know from the Who Would Win podcast show.
Okay. Yeah.
They do hysterical versus matches with fictional characters and everything.
Oh, got you. Okay.
But he is an actual martial artist and he has trained even people in Delta Force and Secret Service and everything. But that's not even the cool part. He does the same thing. He'll see people dick around in the group. He always keeps it positive. And like, someone will say something like, oh, that was a terrible fight. And I'll come. He's like, you're absolutely right. It's like, oh, what? And they're confused. It's like, you're right. You're wrong. You're right. It doesn't matter. You have validation. I'm seeing you. We'll do better next time. Boom.
There you go.
We regret nothing either. So it's just so fun to just kind of have to, you're not playing a mind game with anyone, so to speak, but you are flat out telling them, hey, I'm putting out the fire you caused. It's all good. It really, just like whose line is it anyway? The points do not matter. So
yeah,
just get there over you go. It. You know, it's like it's nothing. We're not here to bitch slap you, and we're also not here to instigate. And before you guys set a fire, well, we're just not going to do that. Not today.
Yeah,
sorry.
Love it.
But yeah, validation is often what someone who's being a jerk is often looking for. And half the time, you know, you just got to tell them, hey, it's not that your opinion's unpopular. It is, but that's not why we're talking about this. The main issue we have is that we got to just relax. You know, we got to just soak in this. And then when you're actually ready to talk about something or whatever, just, we'll talk then, but it's not gonna be today because
there's
a lot to unload and unpack.
For sure. And there's a lot of anxiety in the world. And social media has just shined a light on that, man. And a lot of people, you know, they feel empowered to jump on social media and fire off. And again, they're coming from a hurtful place, you know. So you try to have empathy for them and whatever, you know. But you can't let it affect you.
No. Absolutely. And altogether, when did you decide, hey, you know, I love my students. I love teaching at the gym. Now I got to set myself on a new journey. Does that moment ever come?
Yeah, no, it happened. It'll be.
I love how you just did a mock typing effect.
Yeah, that's my mind going. I mean, what am I thinking? It'll be. I'm doing some quick math. Oh yeah. So it'll be 4 years in October this year that I, started my own business. And basically, well, here's the, I'll give you the Reader's Digest. I'll give you the skinny version of it. I was a head instructor at a martial arts school for 10 years. And this is actually one of the reasons that I really, jive with, Gary Vee, because his journey is similar to mine, or mine similar to his. 10 years, I was a head instructor at a martial arts school, built the martial arts school. We had, I think at our peak, like 150, 175 students, huge school. And then I had a falling out with the owner. There were some,
I'm sorry.
Well, it's definitely for the best. Without like burying anyone, the owner started to show his true colors over time. And it was not a person that I wanted to become affiliated with. Understood. And when you lose respect for somebody, it's hard to work for them. So, so I said, peace out. I just got my master's degree. I said, I'm gone. I'm going to, I think I got to do my own thing now, you know, and naturally I'm a leader. I'm, you know, type A, like I like being in control and being in charge and calling the shots. I've had a hard time working for people, especially if I don't respect you. If I respect you, I can definitely work for you. If you're like King Leonidas and I can follow you into battle with my short, my sword, my shield and spear, I will die for you. But if I don't respect you, then I'm gone.
There's no point in pretending.
Exactly.
And we all have to do it. I will work with anyone, but my problem is not whether or not I respect you or not. It's, are you working me to death and taking advantage of me? But
yeah, that too. And that was a part of it. And that was a part of it too. I was definitely getting taken advantage of. So I said, you know what? Screw this. I can do my own thing, make my own money. I'm gone. So I started my business October of 2019. Well, guess what happened 6 months later? COVID. So then I started teaching out of, my basement. I started doing Zoom classes. And then I did that for a year, saved all the money, opened a physical location. And I'm now, we just expanded into a new location that's over twice as big as the old location. So yeah, long story short is it was just time. I just knew it in my gut and it was like, hey, time. And it's a risk. If you've never started, but you know, everything in life's a risk, right? But if you've never started a business, you've never started a podcast, you've never ventured forth, made a film, asked somebody out on a date, asked your boss for a raise, whatever. Yeah. All of these things are risks. And one of two things are going to happen. You're either going to fail, fall on your face, or two, you're going to be successful. If you're successful, great. If you fail and fall on your face, guess what? You can learn from that. You can learn from your failure.
Anything can be learned. And then grow. Yes.
And then you can say, hey, okay, maybe next time I'll do this. Or hey, maybe I'll try something else. Okay. But I've never been somebody, and maybe I'm an eternal optimist, but I've never been somebody who, I don't really believe in failure because there's always learning. There are learning outcomes that can happen because of that failure. To me, that's what life is all about. As life is a test, it's a curriculum and take it. And everything that happens to you in life is a test to see, you know, what you got. It's positivity. It are gifts given to you to help you grow, right? So little scary to jump out and start my business. But at the same time, I had a really zen calm about me because I love martial arts. I love helping people. I love the physicality of it, right? But I'm also a people person. I'm very much an extreme extrovert. I love.
Otherwise, what's the point?
Yeah, I love talking to people and building relationships with them. And that's why I ultimately did it. And I knew it was time because of all those things.
Sweet. And I don't want to just, you know, this is a great story and all, but also, and now that you've explained what keeps you going and the emotion that resonates with you, also for those trying to rent out a gym, you know, like this is, everybody can do that, but like you say, to build, you know, they got to figure out how they want to build the work ethic and everything. But like, how do you recommend, what are the best kinds of gyms that, to rent out in your opinion?
So what I would say is start first off is like, find number one, you got to be passionate. If you're not going to love it, if you don't love what you're doing, forget it. Because I work more than I've ever worked in my life. And like when you own a business, there's no such thing as days off. Like, granted, I will take a day off, but there's always stuff. There's always shit you can do. There's always things that need to be done.
Always.
So if you're not ready for that, and if you don't have the passion that's going to pull you through to the other side and have happiness be your North Star, forget it. But that being said, what I would say is always start small and be practical, right? Mm-hmm. Like, try to be as cheap as you can. When I first started, I rented space at another gym. I think I paid like $200 or $300 a month. That was it. Just to get me started, just to build a base, just to build my brand, build a name, and then go from there and be practical and be realistic, you know? So find a gym, whether it's I was renting space at like this women's fitness studio and we were rolling around their dirty ass mats doing, you know, stuff. But yeah, find something that as long as it fits and it works for you, you know, and the price is good and you can be realistic about it, and it won't put you into debt. Do it.
Right. Loving it. And any other events that you got coming up?
So we have a, it's weird. Us as a brand can action team, since COVID, really towards the tail end of COVID, we haven't done as much because of, you know, COVID stuff. And in the last year, my acting has, I wouldn't say taken off, that's kind of a narcissistic word, but I've been busier than ever from an acting standpoint. Right. I have, like, this year I'm filming, I've already done two shorts, and I'm doing three shorts. I've been doing three shorts this year, and 1, 2, 3 feature films. The aforementioned Bullets, Brothers in Blood, we're wrapping that up. That's an action movie, action drama. I'm doing another drama. It's about a robbery at a diner called No Loose Ends. And it's a dark drama. We're going to be filming that
already.
Yeah. We're going to be filming that at the end of the summer. Project I'm really excited about that. We filmed the first 20 minutes of last year. We're going to finish it this year, is a slasher called Meat. And if anybody follows me on social media, it's very much over the top. It's an LGBTQ slasher. It's like crazy.
That's awesome.
It's great. I play a character named Vinny in that, who is, it's a fun character. It'll be fun to do some horror. I've done a couple of horror shorts. This is my first horror feature film. So we're going to wrap that up this year. That's been a lot of fun. And then we're also wrapping up. We started this last year, a movie called Once Upon a Ninja. And it is if you take, you ever heard of the Toxic Avenger? Ever seen any of those movies?
Lloyd Kaufman.
Okay. Yeah, Lloyd Kaufman. So if you take Toxic Avenger, Princess Bride, and Commando with Arnold Schwarzenegger, and you morphed them into a movie, this is what you get. It's going to be a campy, over the top B movie, B action fantasy movie. We're going to be finishing that up this year. I'm handling, in addition to being the lead in that movie, the ninja, I'm also the action designer and stunt coordinator. So all the fight scenes, all the action in that movie, it will have my fingerprint on it. I'm going to be in charge of editing it as well. So it's going to look badass. The fight, even though the movie is going to be kind of cheesy and over the top, the fight scenes are going to be in your face, and they're going to be sick. They're going to be great. They're going to be intense. Wait. So I'm finishing that up this year. And then I also have, so for the Canine Action Team, there are two projects we're aiming for to get start production at the end of the year. Well, at least one for sure, possibly two. One of them I'm currently writing a script for a short MMA drama. If you've ever seen the movie Warrior. Kind of similar to that. It'll be a heavy, heavy drama movie, but with fight scenes like out of Undisputed. It'll be right up your alley, man. You'll dig it. So it's going
to
be,
have you,
that we're
not to, yeah, be a counter to that, have you seen the movie Bruised?
No, but I somebody was telling me about it the other
it's
day.
It's extremely similar, and it does give you some inside info on probably how some of those underground fighting circuits work.
They're
not always breaking the law, but they still have some shady characters, and it's just so much constant heartbreak.
Yeah for sure. So I want something, a movie that talks about loss, grief, and overcoming, overcoming loss and pain, and being able, and also throwing in what I love, some kick-ass action in it. So that's, I'm currently just started the script for that. So hopefully have that done in a few months. We'll see how it goes, and then start production by the end of the year. And then I have another short film that I'm going to do that's an action comedy called A Baby Bomber. And I don't really want to say too much. I don't want to say too much about it, but it's going to be outrageous and over the top. And
there
obviously,
there's some goo goo gaga in it.
Lots of goo goo and definitely some gaga. And if your listeners have ever seen any of our stuff, you can go to the Kane Action Team YouTube channel.
You guys are really great on Instagram, really having some promo videos here and there.
Yeah. We have, and obviously check, I don't know if we do plugs or we're going to do them later, but, you know, nice. Obviously at the Matt Kane on Instagram, that's the Matt Kane, Kane with a K, K-N-E. I post
capital
a lot.
K.
Yeah, that's right. Just like the wrestler.
The King.
I post a lot more on my personal page than I do on the Kane Action Team page. So, but yeah, give them both a follow. But also, there's a couple projects that we've done that are currently up on YouTube. There's a short, we kind of did a versus fan film where Ryu versus the Winter Soldier. That's up there.
I saw that was one of the first titles.
Yeah. Ryu versus Winter Soldier is up YouTube. There. Yep. That's on YouTube. There's also another short film. I may be re-releasing it on YouTube called The Sofa. Actually, I think I will. As of right now, it's not there, but hopefully by the time this releases, it'll be opened again. I had it on a streaming platform, but I think I'm going to re-release it back on YouTube. It's called The Sofa. It is my homage to Jackie Chan. It's about a guy who wakes up on a sofa. He has no idea why he's there. His cell phone rings. He picks it up. By the way, this sofa is in the middle of a field. He jumps on his cell phone. Turns out his fiance has been kidnapped. And in order for her to be to set free, he has to fight ninjas, Care Bears, clowns, all this kind of stuff. They come at they have to fight him. And the one rule is he has to stay on the couch. If he steps foot off of the couch, the sofa, then his fiance gets killed. So every fight scene that we do in that short film takes place on a sofa. It's a blast.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So check that out. Again, I'm going to be re-releasing that on our YouTube channel. And then the other one we did, the most recent one that we did, was a short film called Elbow Master versus Kick Master. And essentially, it's about one guy. Well, I should say this. One master. All he does is kick. And one master, all he does is throw elbows. I play the Elbow Master, Ben Garten. Plays the Kickmaster, and it's a 5-minute, essentially it's like a 5-minute music video. I got a really great track from a friend, and we just did a whole 5-minute fight scene where one character just throws elbows, the other character just throws kicks, and it's in the middle of this giant music? What's that?
By track you mean music or
yeah, so it was a great track, it was okay. A great music track, a 5-minute music track. It was in this fight scene takes place like in this big ass hollowed out rock quarry. It looks epic. It's a great, it's a fun fight scene. Yeah. So check us out on YouTube at Kane Action Team, myself at the Matt Kane on Instagram. You can see more of the projects we have. Like I said, some other stuff coming up and, you know, support us and support is, and that's the other thing, support indie filmmakers and indie artists. We need the support.
I'm with it, man. Let's do it. Altogether, any crowdfunding projects you might do in the future? Cynthia Rothrock just and Don the Dragon Wilson, for instance, you know, B movie martial artists have just funded their own Western feature, for instance.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, crowdfunding is a tough thing, and currently, two of the movies that I'm in, No Loose Ends and Meat, the No Loose Ends campaign just wrapped. They're going to do a second round. But Meat is currently, there's 2 weeks left on their campaign. Their crowdfunding. Crowdfunding is tough. It's a hard thing. You have to have a really good product and good promo to show people. So I've never done any crowdfunding per se. I might down the line, if I feel like that's the proper avenue and we got something really stellar that people can get behind and throw some coins at, some shekels at, yeah, I would do it. But I try to keep at least for right now, all our action shorts reasonable, where we don't need such a huge budget, try to use resources that we have, locations, people, and all that stuff that we have. But yeah, down the line, you know, I definitely want to, I got a couple feature film ideas that I want, and you know, crowdfunding might be the right route to go.
Okay. Hey, you know, whatever you're comfortable with. I mean, I see plenty of people who had all the time and energy in the world and they just were overthinking it to where it's just like, guys, no one's gonna, would you fund this if no one gave you anything to work with?
Exactly. And that's what's tough is like you got to be realistic and practical, you know, with what you have. And I think that's where people get kind of put. And Lord knows I've been around projects and in projects where, you know, people were just weren't practical. They're like, oh, yeah, we're going to do this, this and this. I'm like, do you have the money for that?
Yeah.
We're going to be angels. There was one of the first films that I got cast in. I played like an evil angel, and then we were going to have like battles with like shooting fireballs and lasers and flying around. And I'm like, you have money for that? And she's right. Like, no, we'll crowdfund. And I think she got like $2 or something for it. Yeah, it's tough.
Maddening. I'm glad that you're associating yourself with both people you can teach as well as people who are not wasting your time. And this was just a cool eye opener to just at least just know how, again, the struggle will always be real, but hey, you know,
yeah.
Kudos to anyone who just made it happen.
But yeah, man, life's a struggle. So like, it's, what are you going to do? You got to enjoy it. And you got to find what you love, give your heart to it and help out. You know, it's going to be those days where you're struggling. It's going to be that joy that you have for that thing, that love for that thing that's going to carry you through to the other side.
I'm hoping, man. I'm hoping. Alrighty. So for those fortunate enough to listen to this, again, Kane Action Team, look it up. You can find them on the interwebs. It's no problem whatsoever. And all I got are just thanks for shedding some light.
Yeah, of course, man. Anytime. You know, if you want me back, talk about some more projects stuff.
We'll do a Bruce Lee special, I swear.
There you go. As I've been told by many people in my life, they say, Matt, he doesn't shut up. I like to talk. I don't know if it's because I like
to hear. We don't want you to.
I like to hear that. I don't know if it's like me liking the sound of my own voice, or if it's more just, I don't know. I just love conversing with people. I love talking and I love getting to know people. But yeah, like I'd love to come back and talk about some other stuff. Yeah. Check us out again on Instagram, Kane Action Team, Kane with K, the Matt Kane. Check us out. Like Cam said on the internet at KaneActionTeam.com. And then of course our YouTube channel, at Kane Action Team for everything. I'm always uploading shorts there of me training or small fight scenes. Like I just uploaded a fight scene ASMR video that was really cool. We have some fight scenes from some of our most recent feature films that we did action design on, like Rumble TV is up there, Project Rumble. E1337. Nice. Rumble TV was a feature film done by Keith Collins, who's a member of the Kane Action Team. He actually has a streaming service. Oh, you interviewed him. Okay. When was that?
Last year.
Okay. Yeah. Well, there you go. So yeah, I don't know if he talked, I think since then he started his streaming service. It's called Three Digital Rock Theater.tv. Mm-hmm. Check that out. The sofa is actually on there for right now exclusively. It might be on my YouTube channel as well. But a bunch of other short films are there as well.
Sweet, sweet, sweet.
Follow us on the web on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. The podcast is available on Podbean, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Anchor, Apple, and anywhere else podcasts are available. Feel free to review our show and leave comments on any of those sites. Thanks a million for listening. It's a jacked up.